Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every week from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are rebroadcast on Sundays at a2zen.fm, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show page. So check out all of our guests and see what they have to offer. We encourage you to do that. Take what you need, leave the rest, as the song goes, because not everything will resonate with you. And if it does, great. More power to you. We also encourage you, if you'd like to become a part of what we're doing with this radio broadcast, we can always use your support and your help, both energetically as well as financially. So go to the missions page and go to the bottom. There is a link to a PayPal account that I've set up so that we can continue to support the broadcast. This is not in any way, shape, or form any kind of a threat that, oh my God, it's going to go away if you don't help. It would just be helpful if you can do what you can. And if it's just energetically, hey, I can use all of that help that I can get. So thank you so much in advance for that. We also give you from time to time a wonderful little Angus update, our new arrival to the family. Probably 6 months to a year in, which will a year will be December 22nd of 2013. I might stop giving you those updates, but it's just fun to do because, especially because of the tragic loss of Connor back in August of 2012. And then the new arrival in February on Valentine's Day of all days on 2013. And he's doing great. He's somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 80 pounds. But fortunately, he has he's been calmed down. I'm going to put it that way. He's been calmed down. If you know what you are supposed to do with your male and female animals at a certain period in their puppyhood or kittenhood, that's what we've done. So he's calmed down and he's doing great, getting along with my dog, and we're just having a lot of fun in the family. Today we're going to talk about family of a sort. Maybe you're wanting to start a family. And when I say start, I mean from ground zero. You haven't yet found that special person. Why are we talking about relationships on this program? Because it's relationships and it's community that keeps the world going, if you will. But it's the kind of relationships that we establish. It's the way in which we establish them and our intent that makes all the difference in the world. I have been very fortunate that I found a woman the second time around who we have a lot of fun. Obviously, a big part of the fun that we have is around animals. And that may or may not be part of the discussion on the program today. Needless to say, we're going to welcome to our program today a special guest who comes to us from a website called Dear Miss D. And Damona Hoffman is my guest, and you're also the author. We'll talk about the book that you've written as well. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me.
You've written a book called Spin Your Web, How to Brand Yourself for Successful Online Dating. And I know you both do online and offline. You, of course, presently are married, which takes you out of the circuit, but doesn't change the fact that the information that you have to offer is very valuable to our listeners. And did I kind of put it in the right context that it's not just about finding someone to spend the rest of your life with? It's how you do it, your intent, and so forth, almost in the context of the new paradigm of relationships.
Sure. Well, creating a relationship, building a relationship with someone is sort of like building a house. So
okay.
If you start it on a foundation that's shaky and wobbly and doesn't have any planning to it, you might end up with a house, but it might be a house that falls down later. So to really have a solid relationship, I advocate for really thinking about what you need in a relationship, what you have to bring to a relationship, and the way that you're going about finding a partner so that you can make a connection that really can stand the test of time.
I know that I'm hearing more and more about how relationships, More and more of them are connecting online. I am not an advocate myself of social media because there's nothing social about it in the context. And correct me if I'm wrong, but a prime example, a friend of mine who has a Facebook page and he liked this, you know, he connected with this person, that person, and the other person. He and his girlfriend were out at dinner one night. And of course, he has his picture up on Facebook. And some stranger to him at that time walked up and said, "Hi, so-and-so, you and I, you friended me or we're friends on Facebook." And it kind of creeped him out.
It maybe creeped him out, but it really is the world that we're living in. And we do so many other things online. You know, I haven't been in a physical store in months, maybe even years. So the fact that we meet each other online is really becoming the new normal. But there are certain things that you have to keep in mind when you're putting information about yourself out on the web that, you know, you have to be mindful of to stay safe. But yeah, sometimes it is a little strange when you just know somebody, you know, on Facebook. But once you get offline and start meeting in person, people are just people, and it's just dating or meeting someone.
Now, I find this interesting, and I was kind of reading this information that I have here in regards to. I mean, there's so many things that we're going to talk about on this program, but in regards to men, well, I guess chivalry is not dead. I can attest to that fact. But then again, I guess I'm in the older set because I'm over 50. Ever since I met my wife, my present wife, I have always, but not every single time, but I'd say 90 to 95% of the time, I've always opened the car door for her, doors when we enter and leave places and so forth. And I've had comments from relatives who have said, "Well, your mother really raised you right." Since I'm not sure it's so much it was my mother as much as it was my father. That's just, to me, that is just what you do for your partner, as far as men go.
But, sure.
But we're talking, here we are in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. I don't see that happening much at all with people under 50 as I travel around and walk about and go into different stores and shops and so forth here in the Santa Barbara area. I don't see that happening much. Usually the guy he'll go in first. Almost, it's almost as if, you know, the girl that he's with, you know, is an afterthought.
Yes, or yeah, as my father says, well, if we're equals, can we just walk through the door at the same time?
There you go.
But, you know, I think chivalry really is deeper than that. The way that you show chivalry to your partner is by opening doors. But I think people define it in different ways. Like, I'll be the first to say my husband doesn't really open doors for me, but he does support me on a very deep level. Mm-hmm. And so I feel his chivalry in a different way. So I do think, in some respects, chivalry as we once defined it may be dead or on life support. But I don't think that means that romance is dead necessarily. And sometimes people say to me that online dating kills all romance and that chivalry is dead because of online dating. And that I don't agree with at all. I think it's just the rules are different for how you connect with people. But once you're meeting face-to-face, you know, the traditional gender roles do tend to take over.
Now, this is rather interesting, again, because of the fact that here we are in the 21st century, and just by saying that, it's like you're implying that everything is just absolutely miraculously changed when we transition into the 21st century, and it's all been gradual. It's all been sort of an evolutionary process. People are still getting together. They still are looking for commonalities, but I'm wondering if, because I keep hearing from both sides that you want to find somebody who shares a lot of common interests, but at the same time, the other side says that's kind of boring. If you both have the same interests, then what have you really got to share with one another? Because like you're speaking to the choir, if you will. And the other side says, no, you want to find somebody that has differences to what you like and don't like, so that you have those things that you can, you know, again, share back and forth.
And I would come at it from a different way. I would say it's about finding someone who shares your values, because you can always find someone that shares your interests that isn't necessarily your life partner. You know, if you have an activity that you like to do, you could just join a meetup group and find somebody who likes to do that. But the place where I see a lot of relationships disintegrate is when you realize that they have a different value system, whether it's about having children or religion, spirituality. Your way of looking at the world is different. And I really feel like that is the number one factor in long-term compatibility, having that same worldview and valuing the same things in life.
And, of course, one of the things that we value here on this program, of course, when we talk about someone's story and we're looking for those new paradigms, those new ways of living. And obviously, when you're looking for somebody to share time with, you know, whether it be a few weeks, months, or the rest of your life, that's also shifted and changed. I was reading where the divorce rate is no longer skyrocketing, but it's sort of leveling off, but more for dollar and cents reasons. As a matter of fact, I was kind of looking at that around tax time a few years back, and wondering what are the advantages to having a document that says that I am joined to this person, other than economic? There are none. I mean, in the sense that if that's all you're looking for, even from an economic standpoint, taxes, for example, you have the same deduction, the standard deduction, whether you're, you know, as an individual, whether you're married, filing jointly, or single. It's just that you're combining the two. You have the it's all the same. So there's really no financial advantage to as far as taxes are concerned. However, it's kind of tough these days to live on a single job salary. You almost need two jobs, or two people working one job living in the same structure.
Right. And particularly if you have children too.
Oh yeah.
You know, the single parent lifestyle is a very challenging one. But I'm not a fan of relationships of convenience, and this is something I end up coaching my clients on a lot. When they find someone they think is great, they're just getting to know each other, and then for financial reasons or convenience reasons, they say, well, maybe we should just move in together. Mm-hmm. That'll help us out financially, and it'll progress the relationship. And it's sort of the cart before the horse, really, because then you're trying to you're putting that financial piece in front of all of the other foundational aspects of building the relationship. And again, you're building it on a crummy foundation that could make your house fall down. So that's something that I see way too much, this casual attitude towards moving in. And, you know, I'm very open with my rules and relationships, and marriage is certainly not for everybody. But I think it's important to have that same understanding of how you view the other person and where the relationship is going before you say, you know, let me get the U-Haul and come on over to your house.
Well, that's something, too, that I think we need to take a look at as well, and that is the definition from your perspective. What is... maybe we'll start with that one word, this relationship. What is, in this context, a relationship, and how does that differ from a marriage?
That's a great question. And it really it would be answered differently, I think, by anyone in a relationship. But the important thing is that your partner is seeing the relationship in the same way. So many times, you know, particularly I see this with my female clients, they want a certain thing, but they don't know how to express it to their partner because they're afraid. They're afraid their partner will not agree and the relationship will be over. So they say, I don't need to be his girlfriend. I'm okay with him dating other people. You know, they play cool. We're just getting to know each other. It's fine. But what they really feel is, I'd like to be in a relationship with this person, but I'm scared. And so what happens is that partner then believes, oh, okay, we're not in a serious relationship. I can see other people. And they are acting upon a false pretense that the woman is giving to them and giving them permission to say this is okay. And so I think I see this particularly with women. We have to really be able to speak our truth when we're with someone and be honest about what our needs are and let go of that fear that if that doesn't line up with what that person wants, that, you know, we'll die lonely and alone. Mm-hmm. If that person doesn't want the same things that you want, you're better off finding someone else who can give you that than hanging on and trying to get someone to change their mind on what they want. Because, you know, people ultimately don't change that much, you know, and change when it does happen usually is very gradual over time.
Yeah.
But too often I see people wanting to change their partners and not hearing what their partners say that they want or not being honest about what they want out of the relationship.
I know, too, that even going back to my first marriage, which it ended primarily because she wanted to go in a different direction. She wanted mm-hmm. to live in a different way in which I had, so to speak, signed on to. And I actually, for the last 5 years, basically said, well, I'm a smart and intelligent guy. I can make this work. And what mm-hmm. I found out was it didn't matter how smart and intelligent I was. I couldn't make it work because it wasn't what I wanted.
Right.
You know? And I think that, and it wasn't a question of her knowing or not knowing. She knew what I wanted. She knew exactly. But it didn't matter because she was where she was. She was in the state that she was in. You know? And again, I'm not casting aspersions on her. That's the dynamic that developed over the course of time to the point where I finally got to the point where I said, I can't live like this anymore. This isn't working for me. I am dying on the vine, so to speak. And so we went our separate ways. And now I think that's something that you're talking about in terms of happening. And it does happen gradually. But again, I guess, you know, it's I hate to use the old cliche, the heart wants what the heart wants. Mm-hmm. But we all want to have a fulfilling relationship. Now, the question I have for you in that regard is, are we looking for that one person who will fulfill all of our hopes and dreams? Or is that one of the dumbest things that anybody can do in looking for a partner because it's not realistic, it's not possible?
Yes, the age-old question, is there such a thing as a soulmate? And my personal belief is that you could have multiple people that could fulfill your deepest basic needs. So I actually don't believe in soulmates, but I do believe that everyone has someone that they could have a deep connection with if you're starting, as I said earlier, with the same values.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, ultimately interests change, and I don't like to do the same things that I did. Even when my husband and I met 10 years ago, I have different interests. So if we had formed a relationship based on interests, you know, we might be in totally separate places. But the truth is that people do grow apart. But I see a lot of times with divorce, people are often very quick to react to their needs not being met. Mm-hmm. And rather than talking it through, which is painful and challenging, sometimes people find it's easier just to walk away. So you have to really ask yourself, is this something that we can overcome if we work together? Or because if it's not, you know, you're, like I said earlier, you're wasting one another's time. But many issues, if you have built your relationship on that solid foundation, can be overcome with some work. Marriage takes work.
That's what they say. And it is true. It does take work if that's the person that you want to be with. If that person is the one who, you know, has
some of the interests that you do, share some of those kinds of things, you know, and treats you the way that you would like to be treated and you are comfortable reciprocating, if you will. I mean, certainly there's a lot to be said for a certain level of compatibility, you know. And as you talk about values, I think that's a very important thing to take a look at. I want to remind our listeners, we're talking with Damona Hoffman, and we're talking about relationships in the 21st century. Here we are at 2013. It just blows me away. You can find out more by going to Dear Miss Mrs. D. Dear Mrs. D. That's DEARMRSD.com. And you can find out more about what we're talking about, what she's talking about. She also has a book called Spin Your Web, How to Brand Yourself for Successful Online Dating. We talked a little bit about that a few moments ago. It can also be online dating. You have to be really careful, too, because we are starting to hear some of the horror stories. You know, I mean, you talk about, you know, we talked about, of course, social media and Facebook, and you're posting your photograph and so forth. And people go, is that really you? Or is that something you made up? I mean, I'm not an expert in Photoshop, but, you know, I can do some things to to enhance the photograph. But, I mean, these are the kinds of things that it's like, okay, so how do you know that what you are getting into is real? How can you be certain that the information, and including the photographs that you are looking at and reading, this information is accurate? And so I'm going to take this to another level, because you, my dear, are also a Reiki master. You are a certified Reiki healer, which means you also use your intuition, that aspect of who you are that helps people on multiple levels in that regard. So let's talk a little bit about that. And actually, honestly, we could even talk offline dating, too, because sometimes people, they come together and they still haven't, they're not telling the truth about themselves. They're hiding. They're telling a story. You know, I'm really a sanitation engineer, you know, in Goleta, California, when I'm telling you, oh, yeah, I'm a nuclear physicist, and I work at the nuclear power plant that's being shut down in Northern California. We're working on that, which is going to take 10, 15 years, and blah, 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 blah. How do we know that what we're getting into is real?
Wow, that's a multifaceted question. I'll get into the Reiki part of it in a minute, but I think as far as the presentation, I always tell my clients, you want to be the best representation of yourself online. So honestly, it's not a bad thing to do a little photo enhancement, but this is not about trickery. It's about presenting yourself in the best light. And the reality is that at least half of online daters do some photo editing. But let me define what I mean by that, because I'm not talking about, you know, stretching the photo so that you appear 10 pounds thinner, or, you know, painting on eyelashes, which you can do with certain photo editing tools.
Sure.
But making yourself the subject of the photo. You need to be the star of your online dating profile. And this is the biggest mistake that I see online daters make. They have other people in their photos. They have their children in their photos. They have pictures where they're very far away and you can't really see what they look like. And when you're in a sea of online dating options, you will get lost if your photos don't tell your story. Very appropriate. We say you have to tell your story in your photos, and here we are. But that really is the key to it. A picture speaks 1,000 words, and especially now, we're even moving past just online dating. Now, mobile online dating is huge. Plenty of Fish, which is one of the biggest online dating sites, they said now 70% of their users use their site on their smartphone. So you know those little screens. You don't want to read a whole lot of information. You kind of scroll through some pictures, and that's why we're seeing a lot of dating apps become very popular that are just picture-based. So that's why it's so important that your picture infuses your personality, has context, has color, shows your creativity, really tells a story of what you're about and what you like to do. So sometimes that requires some cropping so that you're directing the viewer's eye to the parts of your body you want them to see, and that you really get the focus in your photo that you deserve. So, you know, so that's sort of part one, that the presentation, you know, if you come to a date, you're not just going to show up in your sweatpants or, you know, whatever you wore to work and just you know, roll on over there and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
You're really going to put your best foot forward. So there's nothing wrong with online dating, showing the best representation of yourself. Where it becomes wrong is if you're telling blatant lies about yourself, if you're creating a picture of someone that doesn't really exist. And now we have so many tools that are available to us. You can Google your date. You can Facebook message your date. So you can see if what they've told you really lines up with what you're actually seeing.
Yeah.
And this is very common. Most people do actually Google check their dates.
Well,
so
have you seen that commercial, that speed dating commercial?
I don't know if I have.
Actually, it's for another product, but the theme is speed dating. And this guy's sitting there talking with this gal. She has her phone right there, and she's on his Facebook page, and he's saying these things. And she goes there, but you said on your Facebook page, oh, well, that was some time ago. Yes, but it was just updated just 10 minutes ago. And on and on. In other words, she's catching him in his little spin cycle. And so that's something you need to be careful about.
And it's something that you should do.
Yeah.
And this is with both online and offline dating. You know, I always say date like it's your job. So if you were going into an interview for a job, you wouldn't just show up at the interview, say, I don't know anything about this company, but I hope I get the job there.
Yeah.
You know, you'll do a little bit of research so that you can really know what kind of a culture you're walking into, what kind of responsibilities you would have. So why not use the tools that we have that are free and available to anyone? If it's public information, it's out there. The place where it gets kind of creepy is when you start giving people information about things that they didn't tell you about or that wasn't in their profile.
Right.
But it's all good information to have, and in a recent article for JDate, I talked about online dating safety, and this is, you know, one of the best ways to protect yourself because there are predators out there. Now, I don't think online dating is unsafe at all. These predators were out there the whole time. They were just preying on you through different means, and now that online dating has become more popular, it's a place where there is a mass of people that they could take advantage of you, so they're always finding new ways to reach people. You have to be really smart about it, particularly women over 50 who are particularly widowed and divorced. They see them as easy targets, so they say all the beautiful things that they want to hear. They read everything in their profile, and then they just spit it back to them over a, you know, two-week to 3-month period of time. But then they start asking for things. They start asking for money.
Mm.
And that's when you really know. If you haven't gotten offline and met your date face-to-face, they probably are not the real deal. If they ask you for money and you haven't met them face-to-face, they're definitely not the real deal, and you have to protect yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, it's as if the practices are as old as time itself. It's just the modalities that have changed. That's all. So you have always had to be careful. You still have to be careful. That's really the bottom line. That has not changed. What also has not changed is a time in which we must take a short little break here. We're going to come back with Damona Hoffman. And again, I want to remind you of the website, which you can go to. And it happens to be, the website is Dear Mrs. D. That's DEARMRSD.com. You can also find out about her book, Spin Your Web, How to Brand Yourself for Successful Online Dating. Great comparison to going for a job interview. And boy, I've seen some programs where you should never have gone for that job interview because you didn't prepare, not only in terms of the company, but in terms of the way you went, the way what you wore. I mean, I understand Santa Barbara chic, but I think there's a line that some folks have crossed. Yes, I wear blue jeans to work now, and that's fine, but they're not torn, tattered, cut off. You know, I do try to look as businesslike. I don't wear a tie. I have trouble with ties. I can tie them. I can buy clip-ons, yes, but nonetheless. We're going to come back with more about dating and in the 21st century. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we will be right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And we are back on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and Damona Hoffman is my guest, talking about dating in the 21st century. And I think that what's real interesting, you've said some really good stuff on the program thus far, and it raises a lot of additional questions in regards to something that that really struck me, that really came out to the forefront. And I want to ask you about this in terms of looking for that person that you want to spend time with. How important is it to fine-tune, to hone the reason why you want a partner? In other words, your intent.
I am so glad that you said that. Not enough people really talk about that. And I think it's actually one of the most important things that you can do. And, you know, we see this in many aspects of our lives, but the energy that we put out is the energy that we get back. So when you're wanting a relationship and you're in that energy of wanting, you get different things back than when you're coming at it from a vision of what would make me feel fulfilled in a relationship and why I even want to be in a relationship. Because the answer can't be just because it's something that we're supposed to do or just because I want companionship. There has to be a deeper reason there has to be a deeper connection between you and a partner to want to share your mm-hmm. life with them, and also in what you can bring to the table. Because I see a lot of times I've been doing these workshops for Match.com. I'm doing live workshops where I work with women on improving their dating experience, and so many times they come in with this idea of my perfect partner will be smart and tall and successful, and they have this list of things that they want in a partner, and then I turn it around and I say, well, what are you bringing to the table? What are you offering to a partner? And I get blank stares sometimes, because not because they don't have anything to offer, because they haven't thought about it. So that in my coaching work with clients, that's something that I really spend a lot of time building. That's part of the foundation. Why are you seeking a relationship? What do you have to bring to the table? And what are the qualities that your partner must have to be able to be additive to you in a relationship?
That raises another question in terms of that individual's self-worth, we can say self-esteem, and how they, how they feel about themselves. Because that question you're asking, what are you bringing to the table, that can be a hard one to answer if you're not comfortable in your own skin, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. And you can't be attractive to another person if you're not attractive to yourself, right?
Yeah.
So confidence, a confidence and a smile are your best accessories that you can wear when you're going to meet a potential date. So
and desperation
is to get in touch with that.
Yeah, desperation is not it's not the cologne you want to put on or perfume, because desperation can be smelled 10 miles away.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, this does kind of dovetail into my work as a Reiki practitioner,
mm-hmm.
but the energy that you bring on a date is very important. You know, if you're rushing right from work and you've got your business hat on and you've got that energy that you're bringing into a date, your date's going to feel that what you're bringing from the office, that tension, that frustration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important that you set up time to really clear your head before you go into a date. You know, sometimes I do this before I go speak. You know, I meditate, and I meditate on those things, like what do I want to offer people before I speak to them? What do I want to get from it? And really have time where you're separating whatever business that is following you, whether it's, you know, kids or dogs or work or mom,
mm-hmm.
and leave that at the door so that you can really show up present on your date and give them that energy that makes them makes them attracted to you, really.
It actually ties into another aspect as well. I had this happen at the workplace, but I know that this happens probably more often than not. You are on your date and you're texting on your phone. I've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it happen in the workplace where we're doing a project and this person is sitting there texting, like, oh, no, that's fine. I can do both. And I basically, and it happened to be a woman, and I basically said, put the phone in your purse. I mean, I was genuinely upset because I was taking my time to produce something that she wanted, and she wasn't all here.
And we know the reality is that we actually cannot multitask.
No.
Even though it feels like we're multitasking. But actually, there was a recent study about cell phones on a date. And even just the presence of a cell phone, even if it was never touched, the presence of the cell phone on the phone correlated to people reporting that they felt less of a connection with the date. They did a whole study on it. And it just really goes to show you, if you're wanting to give yourself to a partner, if you're wanting to be to get into a partnership, you have to show up as a partner. So having something like a cell phone, it could be a cell phone, it could be going to a neighborhood bar where you know everybody and they keep coming in and interfering with the date, or inviting, it really bothers me when people want to invite a first date out with a group of friends because it's casual and it's easier for them, but it's a ton of pressure on the date.
Yeah,
it adds a whole other layer, a whole a different energy to the date if you have interruptions where you cannot focus on the person that's sitting in front of you. And
yeah.
I recommend keeping that first date very short and sweet, just really about an hour, so that you're kind of checking each other out, seeing if there's chemistry and you want to continue seeing them. If you can't stay focused on another person for 1 hour without checking your phone or getting distracted, then you really are not in a place where you could be in a relationship if you can't devote that amount of time to someone.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, and that rule that you are talking about applies more than just in a date. And I'm thinking, you know, a short date, over a cup of coffee, you know, go someplace obviously neutral and just where it's just the two of you. You know, I think that, and the other aspect too is the feeling of pressure to perform, so to speak. In other words, you're even though you're trying to be yourself, you're also trying to, so to speak, impress this person a little bit, right? I mean, you're wanting to put your best face out there, your best foot forward, try to say all the right things instead of just, you know, being who you are.
Well, but it's a common pattern that people fall into, you know, in that first date. You don't know what that person's sensibility is. You don't know what their sense of humor is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a risk to just to go on a first date, which is another reason that you want to keep that date very short so that you're not risking saying too much and possibly offending the other person or turning them off. You want to leave the first date as if it feels like you're in the middle of the date almost.
Mm.
So, that's the trick, is the balance is being able to show up present as yourself and not be too worried about how what you say is impacting the other person, because you can only be you. If you are truthful and you're being yourself on a date, the person will either be attracted to you or they weren't, or mm-hmm. or they won't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you show up trying to say the right things and trying to get them interested, you might be attracting them to something that doesn't really exist.
Now, here's something I'll throw it at you in that regard. In that, let's just say the two people, they meet over coffee at a Starbucks, doesn't matter. And it's going well, it's cordial, but there's just no chemistry. And one of the two basically says, it'd be great to be friends, but I'm not really interested in anything more than that. And even if they're able to verbalize it in such a way that is polite and kind, basically what they're saying is, I'm not interested in you. Now, here's where this whole issue of self-esteem comes in, because I use the analogy in any situation of a relationship, whether it's you're on a date or you're in a relationship or you just meet somebody or even a job for that matter. It's the equivalent of you are this magnificent chocolate cake sitting on the counter in the kitchen, all right? Fresh, and I'm sure it's delicious. And somebody comes along and they look at the chocolate cake and they say, I don't want any. Now, has the cake changed? No. The cake is still as good as it was. It's just that person is just not interested. It's absolutely, and we personalize it, we make it about us, but it's absolute, has nothing to do with the cake. It has to do with that individual's wants, needs, and or desires. But we, as I said, we personalize it and make the cake bad when, again,
right.
There's nothing wrong with the cake.
And someone else will come along, and they'll think that chocolate cake looks fantastic. But when we do start to internalize it, and our self-esteem is damaged, and we show up at the next date either feeling a little bit less confident,
mm-hmm.
or being very sensitive to certain things that our last date or last relationship did that we didn't like. And then we start to lead from that foot. And that's where it really becomes detrimental, when you're saying, well, I didn't like that my last date didn't have a plan for the date. So I come at it from a more aggressive stance of, you must have an opinion on where we're going, or you have to lead the date, because if you don't lead the date, then that's, now I'm just knocking you off the list. And we negate all the things that that person is bringing to the table because of the idea we got in our head from the past last person's mistakes. And that's something that you really have to spend time to unlearn those habits. It's what we naturally do.
Indeed. And I'm curious, as we continue talking here, we're talking with Damona Hoffman of DearMrsD.com is the website. Spin Your Web is the book title. And I want to know a little bit more about how you became, because this is kind of what it says, how you became, quote unquote, the expert on all of this. Now, does that mean because you're married, you've actually found someone that you wanted to spend time with and who wanted to spend time with you? What makes an expert, especially in this? Because this is a hard area for a lot of people, and they're looking for that guidance. But, I mean, what makes someone an expert?
Well, it did start with having been in the shoes of many singles, and I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And I had a friend who had just come out of a divorce, and she, this is 10 years ago when online dating was not, is more than 10 years ago, when online dating was definitely not cool and certainly not mainstream, and not an option that many people looked to. And she said that she was going on dates, like 2-3 dates a day sometimes. She
would
line them up after work. And she said, I don't like the guys that you're dating. You're dating jerks. And I didn't like the guys I was dating either, but I didn't really know how to stop, and I didn't really know how to meet anyone new because I had my set social circle, as many of us do. So she said, you've got to try online dating. And I said, no. Online dating is for nerds and people that can't get a date. And I'm not one of those people. I have lots of dates, but I was not getting the right kind of dates. So she encouraged me to start online dating. And after a couple of years of doing it, I ended up meeting my husband. And that's when people started coming to me saying, well, you tried online dating and it worked for you, but it doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
And I would look at their profiles and inevitably, I'd find something that a message they were sending that they didn't realize was there, or a mismatch between what they were saying and what was in their photos. And as I started to help people polish their profiles, they would call me and say, hey, I met somebody. I'm getting married. I'm having a baby. So I realized I had something unique. And I think it all started when I was a casting director, and I used to teach classes for actors in auditioning mm-hmm. and marketing skills because I found there were really talented actors that just did not know how to come across to catch the casting director's attention and how to make a great impression in that room when you only have a few minutes. So as I was teaching these online actors classes, I realized there was a parallel when I was online dating between how you present yourself when you're trying to get a casting director to pick you out of a stack of 100 pictures and how you get an online dater to pick you out of a lineup of 100 pictures. So that's kind of really where it began. And then for the last 8 years or so, I've been working with singles on finding unique strategies for them to find love. And so I've gotten the education, through practical methods of going through the paces with my clients and leading them to find love.
As sort of a sidebar here, as a casting director, would you say that when one is going in for an audition, now here we are in the 21st century and all of this online stuff, how much of the online information are these producers and directors or whoever's conducting the audition using aside from, or maybe even in lieu of, an actual in-person audition? Or has that not changed?
Oh, it's funny you should ask that, because I was just talking to one of my casting director friends yesterday, and I haven't done casting for many years, but things are still quite similar between casting and online dating. And she was saying now to decide if they want to hire an actor, they don't even have to see them. They just go on the online, and she said you can just pull YouTube clips of things that you've seen them do. And this is important, for people that are not actors to know too. Like, anything you've put up on YouTube
yep.
or on your Facebook page, it is all out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to manage your digital identity. So she said, they'll just put together a little reel. Now the actor's not choosing which clips they want to put up there.
Right.
They're just choosing what they think would convince the director to hire them. And then they just show them that and make a decision based on that. Maybe we don't even have to date anymore. Maybe our friends can just create a dating reel of highlights of our life, and then they can send it around and we can get married that way.
Well, I've even often said that if they ever made a reality show of my life, I wouldn't watch it. Okay? So there you go.
But probably 2.5 million people would.
Yeah, maybe, I suppose. But see, I don't have enough conflict in my life. That's the problem. I don't have enough drama and conflict. I have a lot of excitement, a lot of things that that go on behind the scenes, especially in radio. But at least I don't perceive it that way. I mean, we've had these moments in our lives where different things have happened and they've been traumatic. We've lost certain animals and, we've traveled to different places and, we have various upheavals at the radio station. But like I said before, knowing all of that, it's not something that would it's not compelling television to me.
Well,
so there you go.
I also have been a reality TV producer in the past, too. And so many of those people, if you met them just in your regular life, you wouldn't find them very interesting either. But, even reality TV, the reality has left in many cases. So, anything can be drama filled and exciting if you produce it in that way.
Yeah, the editing room can make all the difference. Well, and of course, nowadays, believe it or not, and obviously in our current day, you probably could Each individual probably could have a highlight reel of his or her life, both in video as well as audio, if you ask the NSA in the right way, because they're watching and listening all the time, which I don't care. I mean, I figure I took this philosophy back when I was working at a religious radio station. I figured if God is listening and he can see all and hear all and know all, what difference does it make who else knows? You know, I don't worry too much about that. But you make a very good point in terms of online presence and how careful you need to be. And a lot of kids these days and in the last 5 or 7 years have posted some things online that when they go to apply for a job, they could be dressed in the finest 3-piece suit. The guys, okay, and the gals could be dressed to the nines and so forth. But the employer's already done a search for you online. They found your Facebook page, and they found some of the things that you've posted over the years, and you've already lost the job before you even walked in the front door.
And they've not only seen the things that you posted, but they've seen things that other people posted.
And tagged.
And tagged you.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, there's not enough people do a Google search on themselves just to really know. You should know what your digital presence is and what people are saying about you. You really have to manage that. But it is something, and I do see a difference when I work with people in their 20s versus my older clients. There's definitely a difference in how they engage with technology, and they don't have the same awareness that when you put something up on the web, it's in existence.
Yeah.
So you do have to really be careful about that, because you never know who's going to see it at some point down the road.
Well, I haven't met the person yet who would say that, oh, my cell phone calls are all private and everything I do on the internet, nobody knows where I go. And to that person, I would say, you're an idiot. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is, because for you to think that, you are extremely, you're living in a fairy tale land. You're very naive. From the day I went online, I knew it wasn't private.
Right.
Because it's online, you know.
Yeah. And even, yeah, your emails and your text, like all of that can be retrieved.
Yeah.
So,
well,
know,
and here's a very good example in this regard. I had never seen advertisements for this particular website before on my Yahoo homepage, which is where I have my weather posted, and I can also look at my mail from and so forth and so on. And I went to purchase online at this particular website, I won't mention, for my wife. I went to purchase these shoes for her. And as soon as I had submitted the order for those shoes, I went back to my Yahoo page, and guess what advertisement was there on my homepage for Yahoo? It was for that website for shoes.
Right.
So if you don't think that everything is linked, you're being very naive. And I'm not scared in that regards, knowing my phone conversations on cell or landline for that matter, or my internet activities are possibly being observed. I don't think of it in that context. The only conversation that cannot be monitored is the conversation that I hold out down in the chicken coop, if you will, that we have when I don't have my cell phone with me. That's the only conversation.
But God is listening.
But God is listening, and so it doesn't matter. I could have the cell phone with me, and it doesn't matter. This is to me extraordinary, the things that you are doing for people and helping them out. And I'm curious as to a little bit more, maybe going back a little further in terms of your background. Obviously, I think that was a great thing that your friends did for you to sort of turn you in the direction of what has become, in a manner of speaking, would you consider it to be your life's purpose now?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I get so much fulfillment out of seeing someone that comes to me really wanting a relationship and, you know, many feeling broken from their past relationships, and being able to see them become happy and find the love that they're looking for and that they deserve. It's so fulfilling. Why would I make reality TV shows after that?
Well, what you're doing, I think, is a little bit more real in that respect. But I'm curious, it goes back to one of the questions that I asked earlier in the program, in a general sense, and I'm curious if you care to answer this question, you're not obliged to per se, what was your intent when you went looking for what became your husband?
That's a great question, and I actually I do have an answer for it, and I've actually recently blogged about it. But I did not necessarily think I wanted to find a relationship, but my intent was to meet a nice guy. And I had been dating a lot of men that did not value me, that didn't treat me appropriately, and with the help of my friend, I realized that I deserved better. And so I made a conscious effort. I gave it a name. I called it Operation Date Nice Guys. And I made a conscious effort to change the kind of guys that I was going out with. And when I first met my husband, he is the uber nice guy. He's the nicest guy you will ever, ever meet. And when he first walked in the door, the first thing I thought was, oh, he looks so nice. Maybe I have a friend I could set him up with. And the longer I talked to him, the more I got to know him, the more I realized there's so much depth to this person, and it's so much more fulfilling to be in a relationship with someone that gives back to you.
Yeah.
And just as I spent more time with him, he just unfolded, and there were always more layers. And so I didn't set out with the intention of I want to get married, but I did set out with the intention of I want to give a nice guy a shot because I recognize the pattern that I've been in and that it hasn't been working for me. So the relationship just evolved from there, but you know, I achieved my mission accomplished, Operation Date Nice Guys. The mission has been closed, and it's, I'm so much happier for it.
That's very cool. I know, I can tell you that in meeting my second wife, and I didn't know this at the time, but we shared it about, a month or two after we met. I had actually written a list of things that I was looking for in a woman. And recalling my list, that I found almost all of them in her. Again, I'm not looking for that one human being that would fulfill all of my hopes and dreams and desires, as we talked about earlier. She had done the same thing.
Setting that intention. And I actually did that as well. I have a feng shui consultant that I work very closely with, and she had asked me to put down all the qualities that I was looking for in a partner. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, write them down on little pieces of paper and put them in your helpful people box. And so as I wrote down each quality, the more I wrote, the more I said, you know what, this guy doesn't exist. He's not going to be this, 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 and this. And she said, don't judge it, because, you know, the universe is hearing that judgment. Just put it out there and ask for it,
mm-hmm.
and the universe will give you back what you need. So I had forgotten about it. I put them all in the helpful people box. I forgot about it. I was moving, and I took the box out, and I said, oh, here's this little box. By then I had met Seth, and as I took the pieces of paper out one by one, each one, I said, oh, my goodness, every single piece of paper is a word I would use to describe him. And not just, you know, like, things that I would uniquely use to describe him. And I was like, this works. The secret is real, because your perception and your intentions really become your reality.
Before we close out the program, I want to know, who is Damona Hoffman?
Who is Damona Hoffman? in terms of...
Whatever comes to mind.
Who is Damona Hoffman? I believe I'm a healer in many respects. So not just a Reiki healer, but I really heal people's soul through love. And, you know, I'm someone who, I love connecting with people, and I love connecting people with other people. And so as dating expert, dear Mrs. D. I do believe that I'm living my true purpose, and I also believe that with online dating, we really can make more quality connections with people because you have more connections available to you that weren't before. So that's what I'm all about.
And what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I think the world is really in need of love right now on many levels. And so, you know, it's starting small in building a relationship, but when you have someone that you really care about, you care what happens to them, it impacts the way you interact with everyone everywhere. So, you know, just by doing this little thing of helping people find romantic love, I think the love will spread in different respects.
And how powerful are we as human beings?
Obviously, we're super powerful. there's so many different factors and, you know, in the world, and I think everything has its own power, but I think a lot of times we underestimate the power of our actions, not just on other people, but obviously on the world in which we live in. So we have the choice. We have the ability to make the world a beautiful place or to make it a terrible place. So I'm hoping that, you know, through finding love and through doing work like the work that I do with my clients, people will continue to choose great things and great love.
Damona Hoffman of DearMrsD.com, and author of Spin Your Web, How to Brand Yourself for Success for Successful Online Dating. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's been great talking with you today.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.